If you're smart, you use the Amway brand, though. That's better. So, whatever it's called. But,
are you having church in your
I don't know what I'm doing here. Yeah.
I prefer Popeyes myself.
All right. Okay. Praise God. Amen. But sometimes we have to shout it out. Amen. Sometimes it's good just to shout. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I sense that joy here this morning. Amen. Glory to God. Well, let's pray over the word. Father, we thank you for your word today. I thank you for your people assembled here. I pray for each and every one of them, Lord. And I thank you for the good plan that you have for each of their lives, each of our lives. Father, I thank you and praise you today that through your word, that you reveal your goodness, that you reveal your power, that you reveal your plan, that you reveal your will to us, Father. In Jesus' name, we open our hearts, and Father, we just say right now, we're going to be quick to believe your word. We're going to be like those people that Paul wrote about in Thessalonica when he said, when he came to them bringing the gospel, bringing the word of God, he said, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works in you who believe it. So, Father, as we accept your word today, as we believe your word today, we thank you that your word will effectually work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Praise God. There are six benefits that the psalmist lists here that the Lord does for us, that the Lord provides for us, and that he tells us to be careful that we don't forget them. He said, forget not all his benefits. Praise God. See, if we forget them, then we won't be able to claim them. God wants us to claim the benefits. Like I said last week, he's not like the insurance company. He's not up there in heaven hoping we don't find out what that benefit is, and so we don't file a claim. He wants us to claim it. If you work in the insurance industry, I don't mean to put you in a bad light, but you know they are in business to make money. And the more premiums they collect and the fewer claims they pay out, that's how they make money. But thank God for insurance. Amen. It's a blessing to us as well, and we have to have it. But God wants us to claim the benefits. Amen. Hallelujah. So he says here, he lists six of them, and we looked at three last week. We're going to review those three, and then we're going to get into the last three this morning. Number one, it says, who forgives all your iniquities. So he forgives all my iniquities. Will you say that with me? He forgives all my iniquities. Hallelujah. Now, this is fundamental and this is foundational to all the other benefits, because knowing that we're forgiven of all of our iniquities, that's what qualifies us to be able to receive the rest of the benefits. Forgiveness gives us a standing with God. Having all of our sins, all of our iniquities forgiven, that gives us a standing with God. Forgiveness qualifies us to receive all his benefits. Praise God. You know, the paralyzed man in the Gospels was brought to Jesus by his four friends. He was paralyzed. He needed healing. But before Jesus said anything to him about healing, he said this to him. He said, son, your sins are forgiven. Amen. Before that man could hear, rise up and walk, he had to first hear, your sins are forgiven. Amen. Praise God. So there's not one sin that his blood hasn't covered, right? Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad there's no exception? Aren't you glad there's nothing outside the box? Aren't you glad that every sin is covered? Amen. And there's not one disease that he's not paid for. Praise God. And then the third thing that we talked about last week is this statement, who redeems your life from destruction. That's in verse 4. who redeems your life from destruction. So say this, say, He redeems my life from destruction. I think I forgot to have you say He heals all my diseases. So let's say that. He heals all my diseases. And let's say again, He redeems my life from destruction. That word destruction also means corruption. It means the grave. It means a ditch. And you know, that's what a ditch is, just a grave with both ends knocked out. You did know that, right? Amen. That is a joke. You can laugh. All right. But there's truth to it. There's truth to it as well. It also means a pit. And it's from the root word, this word, it's the Hebrew word shakath, that means destruction. It's from the root word that also means ruin. Satan wants to bring you to ruin in your health, in your finances, in your marriage, in your family, and in your reputation. But thank God, Jesus redeems my life from destruction and from ruin. Praise God. Now, this also speaks about protection. We're redeemed literally from destruction because he delivers us, just like the little Lego video, you know, he'll stop cars from running over you. I've had that happen multiple occasions. One time right out here, I was turning in off Highway 9, turning into the church here, and this big truck with a trailer loaded with construction materials comes flying by me on the shoulder of the road on the other side. It didn't see that I was turning. The driver wasn't paying attention. And so, thank God he didn't ram right into me. With that big load, the momentum and the weight behind that big load, he went inches, but he went by me. I had that happen to me another time. I was on 400. This is not too many years ago. I was on at Highway 400. I was at the traffic light here at 369. I was going north on 400, and I had stopped at the light. I was the first one at the light, and I'd stopped, and a tractor and trailer barreling along there didn't see that the light had turned, and I had stopped. And somehow he went flying by me. He didn't hit anybody. The traffic hadn't started coming on the other lanes yet. So I thought, wow, there's the Lord delivering my life from destruction. Amen. Thank God he does that. Praise God. He delivers our life from destruction. We can claim his divine protection. That's one of the benefits that we have. And then this is new territory here today. This is the fourth thing. It says, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Put verse 4 back up there, Grayson, if you would. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. So say this with me. Say, he crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. Praise God. That first word there, loving kindness, in the Hebrew, it's the word chesed. It means kindness. It means favor. It means mercy. And there's another word that I want to give you in a little bit as we get into this, of what that word of what it means as well. And then the last two words there, tender mercies. That's actually just one word in the Hebrew language. And the word there, tender mercies, in the Hebrew is rakam. You have to kind of clear your throat when you're speaking Hebrew to get isn't that right? Rakam. Right? Yeah. So that's the way you got to do it. I promise not to spit on you this morning, though. All right. And it means great tender mercy. It literally means as cherishing the fetus. Think about a mother, an expectant mother with that baby growing in her womb, that new life growing in her womb, cherishing that new life. That's God's tender mercies over us. Isn't that beautiful? Praise God. I want to say a little more about this first one, though, this loving kindness, the Hebrew word chesed. Loving kindness means tender and benevolent affection. The Bible says he crowns us. He heaps it on our head. Tender and benevolent affection. That's God's attitude towards you. Think about that. The Hebrew word chesed is difficult to translate into English because there's no word equivalent in English. The writers use chesed for loving kindness, mercy, steadfast love, and loyal love. Even with all these, the full meaning of the Hebrew word cannot be really be conveyed. The crown of loving kindness on the head assures God's continuous love and kindness by which He will not let His people go. Even when we fall away, even when we stray away, even when we stumble, God says, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. That's what loving kindness means. Hallelujah. He crowns you with that. He crowns you with loving kindness. We find this word hased, that's translated loving kindness here in the following account in Scripture in 2 Samuel 9. I want to read this to you. 2 Samuel 9, verse 1. It says, did I give you that one? 2 Samuel 9, verse 1. We got that one? We don't have it? Ah, there we are. Okay. Now David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him, what's the next word? Kindness. Kindness for Jonathan's sake. That's this Hebrew word, chesed. And David had made a covenant with Jonathan, Saul's son Jonathan. Saul and Jonathan are now dead, killed in battle by the Philistines. David has assumed the throne. He's become king according to the plan and purpose of God. And David looks around after he's become king and he said, hey, is there anybody left of Saul's house? I want to show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. I made a covenant with Jonathan and I want to show him this favor. I want to show him this loyal love, this steadfast love. I want to show it to him. I want to give it to him. And so they bring in one of Saul's servants, a man named Ziba. And then David asked him, he said, verse 3, then the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? Same word, chesed, the kindness of God. All right. And so in the margin of my Bible, this word here is translated into two words, covenant faithfulness. Covenant faithfulness. He crowns you with chesed. He crowns you with loving kindness. He crowns you with covenant faithfulness. God is going to be faithful to the covenant He has made with us. And how did He make that covenant with us? He made it with us through Jesus on the cross. We're living in the what? We're living in the new covenant, right? Your Bible from Genesis through Malachi is the Old Testament. Testament also means covenant. And our Bible from Matthew through Revelation is the New Testament or New Covenant. Hallelujah. We're living in the New Covenant. It's a covenant made between God the Father and Jesus Christ through His shed blood. And we get in on it. Hallelujah. Because when Jesus died on the cross, He was doing it as our representative and He was doing it in our place. And so we get in on it. And so just like David looked around and said, I want to show anyone that's left of the house of Saul, I want to show them kindness for Jonathan's sake. God the Father says, I want to show them kindness for Jesus' sake. I want to show them kindness, covenant faithfulness because of what Jesus has done. So they found Mephibosheth. That was Saul's son, Mephibosheth. And they brought him in. They brought him into the palace before King David. And David makes this statement to him in verse number 7. David says, so David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. Again, the word kindness there is the word chesed. And David was going to show favor to Mephibosheth for the rest of his life. David was going to do good to Mephibosheth. He said, you're going to eat bread at my table continually. He was going to provide for him. He was going to do good to him and do good for him simply because of the covenant that he had made with Jonathan. Not because Mephibosheth had earned it, not because he had done anything, but it was because of relationship.
Amen.
Amen. And the Bible says that if we belong to Christ, if we're in Christ, we're Abraham's seed. We have that relationship.
Amen. Yes.
We're in the covenant. Amen? Hallelujah. And because of that, He crowns us with that loving kindness, that favor. Amen. Praise God. We see this word also used in the book of Lamentations. In Lamentations chapter 3, Lamentations was written by Jeremiah. And Jeremiah had seen a lot of destruction and calamity because Israel had forsaken the Lord. And yet he makes this statement. He said, I have hope. I still have hope. And the reason he had hope was this, verse 22, through the Lord's mercies. And there that's that word loving kindness again. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Hallelujah. Think about it. Because of God's, if it wasn't for God's mercy over our life, we'd be consumed. That statement is true for us as well, right? Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen? Because of the Lord's mercy over your life, because he crowns you with loving kindness, you're not consumed. Glory to God. Because of the Lord's mercy over your life, here you are, here you stand in the midst of a world pandemic, in the midst of an economy crashing, and we're not consumed. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Through the Lord's mercies, we're not consumed. Why? We're not consumed because of that mercy, because he crowns us with loving kindness. Covenant faithfulness. Hallelujah. Loyal love. Steadfast love. Amen. And he goes on to say, because his compassions fail not. The word compassion is the root word of that same word we looked at earlier, Rahman. That word. The word that's translated tender mercies in Psalm 103. He crowns you with loving kindness, hased, and tender mercies, Rahman. Okay, this is the root word, technically, Rakam. I said Rahman, but it's Rakam. You wouldn't know the difference anyway, would you? All right. The word is actually the same word. It's just pronounced differently. 70. It's in the Strong's Concordance. It's 7356. As tender mercies in Psalm 103. This is word 7355. Right next to it. In other words, all right. And it's still the same word, racham, but one of them is pronounced a little differently. I think one's got a little symbol over the A and the other one doesn't. Okay. But basically I just said that for full disclosure. Okay. But it's basically the same word. All right. And it's compassions. Amen. It means to love. It means to have compassion on. And it means to show mercy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because of his mercies, because of his loving kindness, has said, we're not consumed. Because his compassions, racham, they fail not. His tender mercies fail not in our lives. And then he says in the next verse, verse 23, they are new every morning. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now that's going to be important in a moment. We'll look at the significance of the fact that they're new every morning. Psalm 103 verse 13. Let's go back to Psalm 103. And I want to read this out of the New Living. This is in the New Living Translation, because the King James and the New King James, which I normally use, uses the word pities. It says the Lord pities his children, pities us like a father pities his children. And to me, the word pity just didn't do it, because when I think of the word pity, it means, oh, you poor thing. Yeah. Tisk, tisk, tisk. I'm so sorry that your life is such a mess. That's so bad. Yeah. That's about all I get out of pity. So I didn't like the word pity. I didn't think it communicated. Now, if you understand what the original word is, which is what we're going to give to you. Again, this word, the Lord is like a father to his children in the New Living, tender and compassionate. It's the Hebrew word rakam that we're talking about. The same word that's translated tender mercies in Psalm 103 verse 4 is the word tender and compassionate here. And so he's tender and compassionate, just like a father to his children. Now, parents, think about it. Don't you love your kids? Seven, one, two, three, four of you do. Five of you, oh, six, seven. Okay, the rest of you, we need to have a talk. All right. Praise God. Yes, you love your children, right? You'd do anything for your children. You'd make any sacrifice for your children. You believe the best about your children, right? You know, there's been some humorous things said, you know, during the lockdown and the stay at home where parents have been having to, you know, help their kids with their schoolwork and be their school teacher and all of, and besides having to provide for them and all of that, you know, somebody said, yeah, now you know those notes that your teacher, that your kid's teacher's been sending home. Now you know that stuff's true about your kid, don't you? And there may be some truth there, but as parents, we know that our kids aren't perfect. We understand that. And yet we see the best in them, don't we? We see there's good there. We see that there's potential there. There's good there. And we love our kids and we're merciful to our kids because of that. That's how the Lord is to us. He's like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. And the next verse, I love the next verse. I appreciate this about the Lord so much. Go to verse 14. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. I want you to hear this morning. Yes, in the new covenant, we've been made new creations in Christ. Yes, we have the life of God in us. Yes, we're born again now. Yes, we've been given the love of God and the nature of God. Yes, we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, we have the grace of God. Yes, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But folks, we are still human. We're still living in a flesh body and we still have limitations. Amen. And we still have unrenewed mind and flesh that we have to deal with. And you know what? God understands that. Somebody ought to say, praise God. You know, don't sit there with your arms folded thinking, I don't need that. I've reached perfection. We're going to have, I'm going to have an altar call for liars here at the end of the message here. Praise God. We need this truth. Amen. God knows it. God knows. I'm not trying to make excuses for you or me or anybody. Yes, we should. Yes, we should be striving to obey the Word of God and act on the Word and do the Word. But God knows that we're tempted. God understands when we get discouraged. God understands when we get frustrated and want to quit. Amen. He's not aloof from that. He's not saying, I wish you'd just grow up and not have those carnal tendencies. You know, he's not like that. He knows how weak we are. He remembers we're only dust. Why? Because of His compassion toward us. Because His loving kindness and His tender mercies are over us. He can look at us that way and He can understand what we're going through. And He sent Jesus to experience it so He could truly identify with that. Look at this scripture, Hebrews 2, verse 17. It says, therefore, it was necessary. Everybody say necessary. It was necessary for Him, Jesus, to be made in every respect like us, His brothers and sisters, so that He could be our, what? Merciful. He could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then He could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people, verse 18. Since He Himself has gone through suffering and testing, He is able to help us when we are being tested. Other verses in Hebrews talk about that as well. Jesus experienced all the temptation, all the frustration, all the discouragement that we feel and that we experience today. So when we're going through that, He understands. He knows how weak we are. He understands. That ought to encourage you today. He understands that. So when you're discouraged, when you're tempted, when you're tried, when you're frustrated, call out to Him, Lord Jesus, help me. And He understands. He says, yes, I will. That's why He said, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and that we may find grace to help in time of need. That's His loving kindness and His tender mercy that's over us. He crowns us with that. That's one of our benefits. Hallelujah. He crowns you with loving kindness and with tender mercy. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. The fifth thing is this. The fifth thing is this. He satisfies my mouth with, He satisfies your mouth with good things. Hallelujah. The New Living Translation, it says it this way. It says, He fills my life. He fills my life with good things. New King James says, who satisfies your mouth with good things. The New Living says, he fills my life with good things. Hallelujah. The New International Version says, who satisfies your desires with good things. We all have desires, don't we? Natural desires. Amen. And where we get into trouble, where we get into sin, is trying to have those desires fulfilled outside of God. Right? Yeah. Amen. When the Bible says in James that when desire is full grown, it gives birth to sin. And when sin has conceived, it gives birth to death. All right? So the problem is seeking to have our desires met outside of God. But if we'll look to God, he'll satisfy our desires with good things. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. The New American Standard says that who satisfies your years with good things. So I like all of these. He gives us good things to satisfy us, to satisfy our desires, to satisfy our years. He fills our life with good things. See, God, only God can truly satisfy us, right? Amen. You know, we can seek after a lot of things to satisfy and bring fulfillment in the world. People are doing that continually. And we find many of those things when we seek them and obtain them, we find that they're hollow. You know, even successful people, movie stars, sports celebrities, and all, you know, a lot of them in private moments, they will admit, you know, once I attained that, I thought that would satisfy me. I thought that would fulfill me. I thought when we won the championship, you know, and all of a sudden there's the euphoria and the excitement of the moment. But then 2 days later, it's like, is that all there is? What's next? I still have that emptiness inside. So we find a lot of those things are hollow and insufficient, and some are even destructive. Some of us have found out trying to find satisfaction can even be destructive, can it? Through addictions and things like that. But God, oh, thank God, he satisfies us with good things. Good things. Good thing. This is both spiritual and natural. He satisfies your life. He fills your life with good things. Hallelujah. The Bible says in James, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is good today. He'll be good tomorrow and good forever. Amen. He's the same. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So he satisfies our life with good things. Reed, come on back up if you would. And then finally this one. He renews your youth like the eagles. Hallelujah. In fact, it says in verse 5 here, who satisfies your... Go back up to the New King James, way back at the beginning of Psalm 103, verse 5. Grayson, if you would. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles, okay? The two words, so that, if you look in your Bible, those words are italicized, which means they were not in the original language. The translator added that thinking he was bringing clarity. And it's all right to look at it like that. I think it doesn't really change it. But I think it's a sixth point. It's a sixth benefit. Benefit number 5 is he satisfies my mouth or my youth or my life with good things. Benefit number 6 is He renews my youth like the eagles. Amen. He renews my youth like the eagles. You know, when I was 25, 30 years old, that promise didn't seem so great to me or so significant. But as I'm pushing, I'll be 59 next month. There's 37 more shopping days to my birthday, by the way. I'll be 59 next month, and this word has become more and more precious to me all the time. He renews my youth like the eagles. Praise God. Amen. So, in other words, what happens to an eagle, the Lord does for you and for me. Amen. Amen? Amen. Yes. Praise God. Well, what does happen to an eagle? Well, when an eagle reaches about 5 years of age, it will begin to go through what's called a molting process, where it loses most of its feathers, But those feathers it loses are replaced by new feathers. New feathers. Glory to God. This gives the appearance of renewed youth in the eagle. And during this molting process, the eagle will look sickly and weak. But as the process completes, the eagle has the look and the feel of renewed strength and energy. Come on now. It ought not to be just me that's excited about this promise. Some of y'all, you know, I look out there, some of y'all need to start claiming this too. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 40. I thought about Isaiah 40. Verse 29, he gives power to the weak. Hallelujah. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall what? Run. Shall renew their strength. They're going to run. Yeah, we're going to get to that. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Hallelujah. They shall run. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy, in the Message Bible, Paul says, I've run hard right to the finish. That's what I plan on doing. What about you? Do you plan on running hard right to the finish? Amen. Believed all the way, Paul said. Hallelujah. Let's run hard right to the finish. How can we do that, Pastor? By allowing the Lord, by claiming this benefit, he renews my youth like the eagle. Amen. He renews my youth like the eagle. Yes. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. I love that some of the men of God that I grew up under. Dad Hagen, Dr. Lester Sumrall. Dr. Lester Sumrall came back to America. He had a great ministry in the Philippines as a missionary. Came back to America when he was 50 years old. And he's talking with another pastor, and the pastor said, Sumrall, you're 50 and you're finished. And he went to the Lord in prayer, and he said, Lord, is that man right? Am I finished? And the Lord said, finished? You haven't even got started yet. He said, now run. Run with the vision. Amen. And he wrote a book about that. A book that inspired me so much. Run with the vision. When he was in his 70s, he was in Jerusalem. God would always speak to him in Jerusalem. And when he was in the 70s, he was in Jerusalem, and God spoke to him. He says, now you're ready to do what you were born to do. In his 70s. He said, Lord, what have I been doing up to now? He said, oh, this has been getting you ready. Now you're ready to do what you were born to do. And he started the End Time Joseph program to feed the hungry. A great, great benevolent program that fed hungry people all around the world, not only with physical food, but with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother Sumrall's going on to be with the Lord today, but he ran hard right to the finish. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise God. Dad Hagen did the same. Kenneth Copeland is in his 80s now. I think 82, right? 82 years old and still going, still preaches for 2 hours. Still gets up there and sings How Great Thou Art and just belts it out. Glory to God. Thank God. Hallelujah. We're not just going to fade away, folks. Amen. We're going to have the Lord renew our strength, renew our youth like the eagles. Amen. Amen. We're going to claim all of our benefits. Psalm 92, verse 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you planted in the house of the Lord? That does mean the local church, but it also means, you know, living in the Word of God and in the presence of God and in prayer on a consistent basis. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall do what? Flourish in the courts of our God. Verse 14. They shall still bear fruit in old age. We're still fruit bearing. We're still fruit bearing age, folks. Come on, amen. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be what? Fresh and flourishing. Not dried up and worn out and insignificant, but fresh and flourishing. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Now I want to leave you with this today. Every one of these benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth, your life with good things, and who renews your youth like the eagles. Every one of these statements are made in the Hebrew language using the simple present tense of the verb. The simple present tense talks about fixed habits or fixed routines, behavior or things that will not change. Contrast in that is the, we don't have all these different tenses in the English language, but the Hebrew and the Greek do. There's another verb tense in the Hebrew that's called the present continuous. And it talks about behavior or actions that are happening right now as we speak, but they're going to end at some point in the future. But that's not the tense that is used here. It's the simple present tense, which means every one of these benefits are ongoing and continuous and never ending. Amen. Never end. There'll never be a day where he says, oh, well, healing, no, that's not for today. There'll never be a day where forgiving all my iniquities, there'll never be a day that you'll come across it. Well, no, that one expired last week. Don't you hate it when you get a coupon, you know, and you take it in and it expired last week? No expiration date on these benefits. No expiration date. Hallelujah. The Bible uses all the above benefits in simple present tense. He forgives, he heals, he protects, he crowns. All these benefits are fixed for a child of God. These benefits will not change. They are fixed, ongoing benefits from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, raise your hands and give him thanks. Give him praise right now. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Thank you. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Forget not all his benefits. You forgive all my iniquities. You heal all my diseases. You redeem my life from destruction. You crown me with loving kindness and tender mercy. You satisfy my mouth with good things. And you renew my youth like the eagles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While we're in an attitude of prayer right now, I want to ask, you can put your hands down for just a moment. I want to ask, is there anybody here? You'd say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus Lord of my life. I want to give my heart and my life to Jesus. I want to make him the Lord and Savior of my life. I need Jesus in my life. I know that I need him. I want to receive him as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Pastor, pray for me. I want to ask Jesus into my heart. I want to accept him as my Lord and my Savior. Praise God. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We all need a Savior. The Bible says all of us have sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. We're separated from God because of our sin. But God didn't want to leave us in that condition. In his mercy and in his love, he sent Jesus. So if we'll simply call on Jesus and simply say yes to Jesus, we can be saved. We can have eternal life. Is anybody, by raising your hand, you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need to do that. I want to do that today. Anybody at all? Praise God.